25-410-1407. This is the Mary Baker Eddy Institute recording an extemporaneous treatment on the topic of evil, focusing on interference of good, interference of anything that is godlike. God has a direct connection with his manifestation, and therefore God would not ever be interfering with his own manifestation. So if there's any problem that occurs, it's because the suggestion of evil is trying to put a wedge in between God and God's manifestation, you and me. Whenever there is any kind of a problem about any topic, then this is an appropriate label to assign to it. In fact, it is an attempt at interference. It is a suggestion of interference. It is a suggestion that there can be something that can separate God from God's manifestation. There's a suggestion that there's more than one God, that there's more than one power, that there is more than one source, more than one intelligence, wisdom, and knowing, more than one presence, more than one action, more than one capacity or capability or functionality or facility. A belief that there is a possibility of a competition or an opposition. That there is more than one substance, and that it is matter. But substance is a function of spirit, and it is, therefore, spirit. It's spiritual, not material. It's a belief or a suggestion that there's more than one way to identify something. In other words, material vision, material hearing, material feeling, tasting, or smelling, or all of them. And therefore, you're going to see a problem. As opposed to spiritual vision, spiritual hearing, spiritual feeling, tasting, and smelling. It is trying to make a suggestion that whatever we see is the truth. Kurt Russell was asked, what is the difference between a movie that he has performed in and his own life? He has been an actor for some 50 years. And he said, well, when I'm acting, that's all fantasy land. But my life, that's what's real to me. When there's a mortal mind suggestion, a suggestion of evil, of interference, no matter what form it takes, it is fantasy land. It is not facts. It is unreality. It is an illusion, a delusion, a trick, error, mistake, mistaken identity. Spiritual sight means spiritual discernment, which means we can tell the difference between one thing and another. If we are exercising spiritual sight, then we can tell the difference between truth and error, between God and the fake of God, which is evil, devil, mortal mind, and these other things mentioned, delusion, illusion, fantasy land, and so forth. Instead of heaven, we're looking at H-E-L-L. Instead of harmony, we're looking at discord. Instead of balance, we're looking at chaos. Spiritual hearing means spiritual understanding. It means we understand what the topic is about. Feeling is divine consciousness. In other words, we are conscious of exactly what is reality. Smell is intuition of character. It's like having that sixth sense. We don't see what the problem is, but we know there's a problem. Or we may not see the goodness in someone, but we know that it is there. Now, I'm not talking about evil. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And he overthrew the tables of the money changers who were trying to make a profit off of people going to church. He was trying to get customers as they were going into the church service. And the fifth one is our taste. And taste is relish of truth. The reason that senses are spiritual is because spirit is the only substance. If matter were real, then material senses would be real. But they're not. There's nothing that can be real unless it is a quality of God. The Bible tells us that God is all. I am that I am. There is nothing but God. Habakkuk tells us that God is of purer eyes than behold evil. He cannot see evil. He cannot cause an evil act. And God is the only action. One of the definitions of God in the glossary of the textbook of Christian Science, which is entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And on 587, it says the definition of good, G-O-O-D. And it says God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. So the only thing that can be present are qualities of God. Evil has no place to be because God fills all space, because God is omnipresent. And there can't be any ignorance that is real because God is omniscient. And omniscient means that God is omni-intelligent, omni-wise, and omni-knowing. Omni means one, only, and all. So there is no competition. There is no opposition. God is omnipotent. So where is the power going to come from for there to be a contrary to action to the action of the one and only omnipotent God? Omnipotence. There is no other power. We can reflect power, and Mary Baker Eddy tells us that the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable, and that's by reflection. If we do good things, we reflect the power of God, the omnipotent God. We reflect that power, and we reflect it in the degree to which the goodness that we do. If we do a lot of good, we reflect a lot of power. If we do negative things, we're in big trouble. Not only do we not reflect power, but we have negative power working against us. It's not from God, it's from the absence of the good. Evil fills the space if good is not lived in our life. The Bible tells us that God is mind. As a matter of fact, Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? And he says, love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And what does Genesis 1 say? Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every living creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man is not matter. He's not made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. Scriptures inform us that man is made in the image and likeness of God. I just read it to you. Matter is not that likeness. The likeness of spirit cannot be so unlike spirit. Matter is the opposite of spirit. That's as unlike as you can get. Man is spiritual and perfect. And because he is spiritual and perfect, he must be so understood in Christian Science. On page 591, Mary Baker Eddy says that man is the compound idea of infinite spirit. Remember, spirit is the opposite of matter. The spirit and his image and likeness. The spiritual image and likeness of God. The full representation of mind. Now remember, mind is omni-intelligent, omni-wise, and omni-knowing. If we're the full representation of mind, that means we reflect every bit of intelligence that we need to have at any moment. And the same with wisdom and knowing. We have it. We never need to think about forgetting something or be worried about it, because mind knows all. If mind doesn't know it, we don't want to even think about knowing it. We want to know what mind knows. And we have the ability to do that by reflection. By reflection. Life. What is life? Life is divine principle, soul, spirit. Life is without beginning and without end. Eternity, not time, expresses the thought of life. And time is no part of eternity. One ceases in proportion as the other is recognized. Time is finite. Eternity is forever infinite. Life is neither in nor of matter. What is termed matter is unknown to spirit, which includes in itself all substance. And is life eternal? Matter is a human concept. Life is divine mind. Life is not limited. Death and finiteness are unknown to life. If life ever had a beginning, it would also have an ending. Mary Baker Eddy gave us a scientific statement of being. On page 468, she states the following: there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. One of our most brilliant Christian scientists of all time, next to Mary Baker Eddy, is Frederick L. Rawson. In fact, he is from England, and he's the one that made the statement that they used to teach in England, in the upper levels of the universities, that there is no time. And he said, well, if they taught there is no time, and they're supposed to be as good a source as you can get for education, then why should I believe in it? He came to the conclusion that our life is already predetermined. It's like a movie. What part of the movie do we want to watch? What part of the movie do we want to live? He determined, if that is true, then I can go back in time and heal a problem that occurred years before. He said, the next patient I have, I'm going to test it. He was an electrical engineer, and people came to him to solve electrical engineering problems from all over the world. So he loved to solve problems. He loved to do research in how to solve a problem. This was before he ever knew anything about Christian Science. So he said, I'm going to test it, because that's what he was used to doing in his work. He would have an idea come to him, and so he would test it to see if it worked. So he said, the very next patient I have, I'm going to try it. And guess who his next patient was? His own sister. He got a letter from her. Now remember, this is, well, I didn't tell you, but this is back about 1915, where a telephone was not a common tool. In fact, I don't remember offhand when the telephone was invented. But certainly in 1915, he had to rely on letters. They apparently were in the same country. So when he got the letter, he decided he would give his sister a treatment, and that he would do it back when she first discovered there was a problem. He didn't know when that was, but he apparently used the language within his treatment to take care of it. And you can read on our website about how he did this, because he gives an example of his sister as the very first one, and he said that he's done 500 of them, in fact, over 500 of them, since then. So he heard from her shortly thereafter And he said, it's the strangest thing. He says, I only put the letter in the mail. He said, she said, there's no way you could have seen the letter because I just dropped it in the mail. And she says, I was instantly healed. How did you do it? She knew she could trust him. It was his own sister, and she knew his reputation of solving problems. And she knew that he had just learned about Christian Science, and he had taken up the serious study of it. He overcame the belief of time, the limitation of time. Christian scientists commonly overcome the belief of space because a Christian Science practitioner rarely ever sees the patient unless they happen to go to the same church or some event or something. But they basically never see each other. It's all done over the phone. So if healing can be done over the phone, we know that space is not a limitation. Now, this is telling us in this definition of life that life is neither in nor of matter. And that life is eternal. And that matter is a human concept. It's not a reality, it's a human concept. Says life is divine mind. Life is not limited. Death and finiteness are unknown to life. If life ever had a beginning, it would also have an ending. But if life is of God, it could not have a beginning. There's no beginning for God. Mary Baker Eddy does a spiritual interpretation of the first three words of Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, and she says that really means in the only, because it's talking about truth throughout the book of Genesis chapter 1, up to verse 3, and including verse 3, chapter 2. If the existence is spiritual, and that is defined as reality, then what we think is a creation is a revelation. We are only seeing it and don't know how it came about from any physical evidence. I mean, there's all kinds of stories out there about something being a million years old or a billion years old or whatever. But there's no record of anything that we could communicate with that is physical, visible, to ask them. Methuselah was the oldest one. And I think his lifespan was 966 years or something like that. Maybe 968. Anyway, it was around 970 years. He's the oldest one apparently known to mankind. He was called an Andaluvian. And there's lots of them that lived hundreds of years old. If we live a life of activity, that's the opposite of death. If we live a life of action, and if we know what God is, and that there's only one mind, then what can cause interference in whatever activity we're involved in, or even any activity a government or a country or a group of friends are involved with? we must feed into our consciousness constantly that God is the only mind, and mind is the only power. Mind is the only action. Therefore, there can be no action from any other source. There can be no opposition to the action of God, because God is omni-action. Omni. One, only, and all. There is no other. For your information, Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science strictly from reading the Bible. That was her only source, other than hearing words as if someone was in the room with her, that gave her inspiration and dictated to her the first edition of Science and Health. That obviously was the voice of mind that was talking to her. And mind is one of the qualities of God. Here's a definition of God from page 465. And that's from the chapter entitled Recapitulation, which means that it is a summary of the chapters preceding it. And it's chapter 14, so chapters 1 through 13 are summarized in chapter 14 in 24 questions and answers. On page 465, it states, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Incorporeal. No body. It's not a human. No, Jesus is not God. Look at the verses in Matthew 19, 16 to 30, and Luke 18, 18 to 30. And it says the following. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And then he answered the question. He says, Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I realize the question is whether or not Jesus is God, but I like to read the whole paragraph so that the context is understood. Jesus didn't even consider himself good. But how does Mary Baker Eddy define good? As I read, she defines good as God, Spirit, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniaction. There's many quotations in the Bible where Jesus states that he is not God. So let's go back to what God really is, since Jesus is not God. So Mary Baker Eddy says on page 465 that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. On page 587, which is the glossary, which are terms you need to understand in order to understand the Bible, she defines God as the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. And on that same page is the definition of good, which I've already read a couple of times, so I'll skip that. We cannot do any mathematics unless we know the 10 digits and we know how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. That's a starter. And as indicated, there's obviously much more advanced levels than just a simple add, subtract, multiply, and divide. But if we're going to learn how to heal ourselves or help anyone else, we must understand the basics of the system of divine metaphysics. And God is the beginning. And then we need to go into a word study on what these words mean. Incorporeal is obvious, without a body, so that means it's spiritual. Divine means perfect. Supreme means there's nothing higher. It's like the supreme governor of heaven. And infinite. No limit, 360 degrees. No limit. Mary Baker Eddy gives us the statement that infinite progression is concrete being. In other words, the only way we're going to really be able to have confidence in what we're doing if we're making continuous progress. Concrete being. We need to be making continuous progress. Isaiah says, precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. We only need to get a little morsel of new inspiration, a new understanding every day. If it's understanding one word, or one sentence, or one paragraph, we need to get something new to add to our spiritual growth every day. One of the most famous pianists, he made, I think, probably as much as anyone with his piano performances. He operated out of one of the big hotels in Las Vegas. They're the ones that pay the most, I believe. He said if he missed one day of practice, he knew it. If he missed 2 days, the critics knew it. If he missed 3 days, the public knew it. If you know anything about music, you know what I mean by the Hannon exercises. Hannon is the publisher. I don't know, maybe that's the name of the composer. But it gives you exercises at whatever level that you need And these professionals practice the Hanan exercises every single day. We need to practice reading and living the qualities of God every single day. No vacations, or we're going to know it. We're going to realize we've got a vacuum. But the beauty is we know how to fill it. Mary Baker Eddy says, don't try to do a big step all at once. She said it is a gradual transition from matter to spirit. Because we've heard about matter all our lives. It's all around us. She tells us that we're inundated. We're bombarded with the theory that life, truth, and intelligence are in matter. We touch something. We think, oh yeah, this is real. Go to one of the studios in Hollywood. Or, I mean, you can see it in movies also. But in a studio, they show you how they do these tricks to make it look like things are real. The fact is that the only thing real is what is of God. I've given you two definitions of God. We give you everything you need to know about all of those words. Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, wrote a book called Your Divinity Revealed. And pages 4 to 10, each one of those seven chapters focus on one of the seven terms for God. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Those are called the seven synonymous terms for God. The others are like adjectives. You know, incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, all-knowing, all-seeing. But the seven core words that the entire dictionary is parsed from, or it's really in reverse. She discovered what God was from studying the Bible. And everything she says, you can find proof of in the Bible. Yes, you can find where it says that God is mind, and God is spirit, and God is soul and principle, life, truth, and love. Actually, I think that the word principle is not there, but it uses other words that mean the same thing. But the other words, the other six, those exact words are used in the Bible. That's saying God is those words. So her definition of God is from the Bible. Entire Christian Science is from the Bible. She is the one that figured it out. What did Einstein say about Mary Baker Eddy and about the textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures? He said, blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. Talking about Science and Health. He also said, science without religion is lame. And religion without science is blind. And what is Christian Science? Christian Science is the religion of Christianity and the science of how Jesus did his healings. Mary Baker Eddy gave it to us on a silver platter. I should say a spiritual platter. Because silver is a symbol of matter, But silver is a symbol of excellence in terms of flatware and things that are utensils in the kitchen made out of sterling silver. In fact, other jewelry is made out of sterling silver. Silver is a symbol of quality. The definitions of God provided are the foundation, which everyone should be referring to as the bedrock of Christianity. Now, I mentioned that math has add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Music has its operators and so forth. The operators for the system of divine metaphysics, which is just another name for Christian Science, are four in number. And Jesus gives them to us in the book of Revelation. They represent the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word meaning everything about God, the facts about God, the nature of God. The Christ means to translate whatever comes our way in terms of visible form to the spiritual nature. The third one, Christianity, should be how we live. We should be live based on what is God. And of course, in Genesis, it tells us, as noted, that we are made in the image and likeness of God. So if we're going to be reflecting our true nature, we're going to be reflecting those qualities of God in everything we think, say, and do. And if we do that, then we will be able to overcome any problem that we're faced with in our daily life. And we should be using this for assessing all humanity. In other words, we want to make sure that we look upon all humanity as being individually the image and likeness of God. Mary Baker Eddy prayed three times a day to make sure that she was looking upon all humanity exactly that way. And as noted, she prayed hourly to make sure she was reflecting God and that she was not in any way criticizing or looking in an ill manner toward other people, no matter how much she was attacked, which was continually by those all around. Edmund Burke's statement is so valuable when he says that evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Same thing happened to Jesus. They just let him be crucified. All the tens of thousands that he probably healed, and he gave his talks. There was 4,000 in one setting and 5,000 in another, just men, because they didn't count women and children, and there were probably four or five times that many people. So we're talking, you know, maybe 20,000 people and 25 or 30,000 in the other one. Some of these people could very well have been healed by just listening to what he was saying. And of course, the animus of spirit that he was projecting out to everyone that was listening. Shakespeare tells us there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. The Bible refers many times to the kingdom of heaven being within, within each one of us. It's within our consciousness. Are we going to let it be the leader to our every thought, speech, and action? Are we going to abide by the golden rule? Are we going to let it guide us in every thought, speech, and action? The Bible clearly says that we cannot love the invisible until we love the visible. Mary Baker Eddy has stated that Jesus was so divine because he loved everyone. He didn't love evil, but he loved everyone, seeing them as really having a spiritual nature that just needed to be uncovered. To evil, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He overthrew the tables of the money changers at the church who were trying to profit from those who were looking to have a connection with God. And that was the only way they knew how to do it, is to go to what they called a synagogue. If we stick to what was mentioned as the bedrock, the definitions of God and good and man, and realize that Genesis 1 states that man is made in the image and likeness of God. Think about Genesis 2, where it talks about Adam and Eve as only being fake news. Wherever there is truth, the opposite is going to be error. So if we're seeing things that are ungodlike, we need to flip it and focus our thought on truth. Never focus our thought on personalities. The material concept should be replaced with seeking the spiritual view of truth instead of the material view, which is error and evil, fantasy land, mistakes, failures. It's been often said the difference between a man of success and one of failure is that when they're knocked down, what do they do about it? What is their attitude? If we're going to be transforming our life to a more spiritual dimension, we need to look at every corner of it. Every department, every topic, every quality, everything we think, say, and do. If we think we don't have enough time to do something, we better be studying time management. If we never seem to get things done, do we have a plan? Do we have a goal? As Richard Strain found out, if he didn't study 5 hours a day, he wasn't going to go where he wanted to go in his spiritual life. And the spiritual life is the only life that matters, because we can be praying every day by every thought, speech, and action. Doesn't matter what we're doing, if we're in a profession and we're working, or if we're driving a car, if we're waiting in line, we can always be utilizing the qualities of mind. In fact, in driving, a longtime friend of mine told me, think of mind as the driver. Think of love as the vehicle. Think of truth as the road. So we can be thinking of those qualities and exploring that. Thinking of principle, of everything being in order. Balance, harmony, as you travel along the road. You can look at other cars. Look in the rearview mirror. Look all around and make sure that you are declaring and claiming harmony to be the only reality. When you see an accident, if that should ever happen, boy, that's a perfect time to be declaring harmony and to declaring that the only thing that is true about anyone in a so-called belief of accident is a child of God. Every single one is a child of God, and no harm can come to them. If you're in a house and there's a fire that started, and it's a matter of life and death, you don't sit there and pray and be consumed by the fire. You be making your declaration as you're taking the practical steps to get yourself and anyone else that you can help out of the fire, out of the danger. Think of faking it until you make it. In other words, take the action until everything is clear, until the result is there. The same thing with prayer. Pray until you have the fruitage. Doesn't matter how long it takes. Keep doing it. Never give up. Never quit. You have to make sure you understand what you're doing and not make a mistake in what you're saying. That's why it's so important to fall back on the bedrock. The definitions of God, the definitions of man, definitions of good. Read chapter 1 of Genesis through verse 3. Until you know it backwards and forwards. It says that God gave man dominion over all the earth, over the fowl of the air, over the fish of the sea, over every creeping thing. But we can only experience it if we open our thought to what we have been given by our natural heritage. Forget about Adam and Eve as being your DNA. Think about Genesis chapter 1. That's your DNA. Your spiritual nature, that's your real DNA. And you have to claim it. You have to affirm it. You have to make it a part of every thought, speech, and action. The reason the belief of evil that controls the media repeats the same thing, their talking points, and they just give them to each of the media. These are the major media that are trying to control the population, suppress them and oppress them. Because when one hears the same thing over and over and over, the brain believes it to be true. We have to get out of the thought that the brain controls our intelligence. Mary Baker Eddy states, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. In other words, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in a physical, material-based brain. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Every single thing Mary Baker Eddy says can be traced back to the Bible. We have to make sure we look at the spiritual view of the Bible. The reality view. And not be swayed by suggestions of evil. That phone is ringing all the time, trying to get into our thought. That's just a symbolism. Trying to get into our thought and mess it up. Try to dilute the pure thoughts with thoughts of evil. Trying to make an alloy out of something that is pure. Spirit is pure. Spirit is flawless. And that's the only real substance. That's why when we should be utilizing the five senses, that we are looking at them through the lens of spirit. Are we discerning the difference when we are seeing using the vision? Are we discerning the difference between good and evil? When we're hearing, listening, are we understanding? Are we gaining a spiritual understanding of the truth? And you must go through each of the five spiritual senses. We have everything on the website. Whenever you have a question, send us a message. Provide us a phone number in USA or Canada, and we'll call you. If you're somewhere else, then you need to utilize Telegram, which is a free service, which provides you voice as well as text, and give us your name and phone number that you have registered, first and last name. The way you have it registered with Telegram, we will add you as a contact and we'll call you through Telegram. We don't spend a lot of time on texting or email or anything like that because it's much more efficient to do it by phone, to have duplex communication instead of simplex. In other words, two-way, bilateral, instead of just one direction. One of the very necessary requirements to have success in your spiritual advancement is to be a giver, not a taker. I would say 99.9% of the people are takers. They want something for nothing. They're concerned about themselves and their own well-being. They're concerned about me, instead of they, all humanity. One of the most brilliant Christian Scientists, Frederick L. Rassen, said our purpose to be on planet Earth is to make other people happy. Imagine what the world would be like if everybody had that attitude of wanting to make someone else happy. Everyone. Not through a personal relationship, but through a spiritual relationship. Not based on matter, but based on spirit. If you see someone in need, what do you do about it? Do you try to help them find the solution to what they need a solution for? Or do you just give them some money? Or maybe do nothing? Maybe you're like the story of the Good Samaritan, where everyone walked on the other side of the street to avoid contact with the one that was in desperate need. Be like the Good Samaritan. Look for those in need and look for ways you can help them solve their problem in an impersonal way. Communicate in a spiritual fashion, not in an emotional, material fashion. Live in the kingdom of heaven and open the door to everyone you possibly can. Anyone that is listening, that is in need, that is searching for a result, searching for a solution. There are plenty around. It's not difficult, but you have to be alert and you have to have your heart in the right place. Not looking in the mirror to see how can I help myself, but looking through the glass and everyone you see, how can I help them? How can I bring more harmony to the world to benefit everyone? And when you have an opportunity to see someone in need, become their friend. Try to discreetly find out what their problem is. And in an impersonal, spiritual way, being as anonymous as you can, help them. We're not looking for ego. We're not looking for getting a big thank you for someone, which is feeding ego. We're looking for a way to solve the problem. Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one recognized that it was the truth that healed him and expressed gratitude. 1 out of 10. If you get 1 out of 10, that's about average. And we're not looking for anything in return. We're looking to give. If you're looking for something in return, like let's say you gave enough money to build a building on a university campus. You want your name on the building? Or do you want the function of the building be the name on the building? If it's a mathematics department, put mathematics on the building instead of John Joe or John Brown or Jim Jones or whatever. Donated by Jim Jones and give your address and phone number. You know, that's a way to be anonymous. Do you want to give or do you want to build up your ego? The Bible says tithe 10%. I would say that's for an average person. Do you want to be an average? Well, an average person does not progress in their spiritual dimension. An average person thinks out of the box, gets out of the box, lives out of the box, and puts other people first. Jesus lived his whole life by giving. His whole life was a life of giving. What do you want to have accomplished when you're done on this earth? Are you working on it? Do you have any kind of a goal plan? Do you have a way to manage your time? Are you interested in utilizing the minutes, the moments? Mary Baker Eddy said, the biggest difference between success and failure is how we use our moments. In fact, I believe what she really said was that the often the difference between success and failure is how we use our moments. This is the Christianity. Word Christ, Christianity, and science. This is the Christianity portion. What are we doing with our life? Day-to-day living. Science means that everything is automatically interpreted from whatever it is to the spiritual view. That was the science that Jesus had mastered. And also the Christ, translating. But love was the symbol that he expressed so comprehensively. The only thing that he had a distaste for was evil. Not the people, but the evil. We have to separate the personality from the action. And get our thought off of the personality altogether. Dig in our own thought for where the root of the evil is that we see, and clean it out of our consciousness, realizing, claiming it, and confirming that it cannot be real, it cannot have any power, it cannot interfere with the truth. The theme of this recording cannot interfere, because God is truth and God is omnipotent. What can interfere with omnipotence? God is omni-action. What kind of action can interfere with something that is all action and good? There's no power to do it. There's no power to interfere. There's no action that can exist except the action of goodness. So there's no action that can interfere. God does not have any opposition or competition, period. And you have to stick to that. You have to form a model in thought, and you have to stick to it. And of course, you should, as you spiritually advance, keep enlarging it and refining it. You will find that if you follow our recommended path of study, that you will see new things from old words. Words that you've maybe read a dozen times, and something new will be revealed to you if you start fresh. Just follow our recommendations on a study plan. You'll see what is meant when we state that. I'm so grateful for every bit of inspiration that I've received when I've done serious study and tried to live a life of expressing the thought, speech, and action of what Genesis 1 says we should be doing. Obviously, all the Bible characters that contributed their writings and the people involved, their actions as their examples. Christ Jesus is the stellar individual for the whole Bible. He's mentioned many times throughout the Old Testament. So he's not just in the New Testament. He's throughout the Bible. Revelation is mentioned throughout the Old Testament. We have a choice how we use every moment. I'm very grateful for whatever I've learned and the spiritual advancement that I've had. It seems like it's a drop in the bucket, that I'm just approaching the beginning. The infinity is so comprehensive that we're all like a grain of sand mixed into an ocean of sand. The whole beach, and we're only one grain of sand. We have every reason in the world to be humble. We should be grateful for everything. If we have a telephone call, say thank you at the end of the call. Why? Because the other individual invested his time. It doesn't matter what was transpired on the phone call. You should be grateful for the opportunity to make it productive. If you failed, then you need to be better organized the next phone call you make. Have a list of the salient things that you need to cover in the phone call before you pick up the phone. Check them off as you cover it. Keep your thought focused on the purpose of the phone call. Don't use it as a time for gibberish communication. Make it something of purpose. That should be one of your goals. That everything you do has a purpose. Having fun, if you're married and have children, having fun with your wife and the kids on an outing, or you go shopping together, whatever. Joy is very important. Expressing joy is very important. That can be one of the purposes when you go shopping. Do you always have a smile on your face? Are you exuding with qualities of God? Are you looking to see if there's someone you can help? Do you see an elderly person that maybe is having difficulty? Some young woman with her hands full of things thinking she was just going to go in and get one thing? And she ends up seeing this, that, and the other that she needs at the same time, and she doesn't have a shopping cart. Have you ever seen that circumstance and then offer to help them carry it or go get a shopping cart for them? I've seen that many times. You just have to be alert to it. Have you seen someone staring at the counter and not doing anything? Maybe you can get someone. Maybe if you know the store well enough, maybe you can help them find what they're looking for. Or maybe you can go get a clerk, someone that works for the store. If we want to help other people, if we want to be having a life of giving, there are lots of opportunities all the time. But our thought is closed to it if we're not thinking about it. Because we're thinking about ourselves. Wow, how am I going to solve this problem? Or, wow, am I going to get this done on time? Or, you know, whatever it is that is taking your thought, is it productive? Can you make it better? We have to be grateful for every opportunity, as well as every success that we've had. If we're making gradual progress, we should be grateful. Isaiah gives us the verse, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. All we have to do is take it a step at a time. What should I be doing right now? Think about that. Am I doing what I should be doing right now? Is this the most valuable thing to be doing right now? Only you can answer that. No one else can. You must answer it if you want to move ahead. I'm going to close by reading one of the treatments that Mary Baker Eddy gave to her 1898 class. And everyone who graduated from that class, and by the way, the students were all invited by her individually to attend. That's the only students she permitted in the class are the ones that she hand-selected for that particular class. After about the third day, she required them to all go out and perform a healing and report it. And they all did. They had a clear enough understanding at the end of the third day for them to actually go out and perform a healing. It was really being a catalyst, because truth is the healer. So she made up a diapason of heaven prayer, that's what she labeled it, for each of the seven terms for God: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. I will select one and read it to you now, and that will complete this recording. Everything, by the way, is extemporaneous. So this recording is going to be as it was done and not polished up. So if there's any kind of an error in it, if it's rough on the edges, please understand the conditions under which these recordings are made and being offered. Here is a diapason of heaven. This is the diapason of heaven with a focus on spirit. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen.